Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to worship. So excited to be together today. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. First off, we want to find out who is in worship. And the way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. Take this pew pad, if you would. Write your name down, give us contact information if you choose, and send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on our pew, on your pew. And we do ask that last person, when you're done, if you could send it back to where it got started. That first person may be you, I don't know, but it could be the person sitting next to you. But just send it where it got started. We do ask that first person, when it comes back to you, if you could tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for your help with that. We have announcements, scheduling there in the bulletin under upcoming events and opportunities for the week. Several things that are listed there. Just a couple that will draw your attention to. Some changes for the schedule today. There will be no youth choir today and no channels. The handbells will be practicing, but no youth choir and no channels. The youth Super Bowl party starts at 5:30 and down in the youth area. So we're looking forward to eating a lot this afternoon. If you like wings, come on by. We'll have a few downstairs in the youth area starting at 5:30. Let's see. Other things are listed here. Many things that are happening in the life of our church. We have a couple weeks left in our primary basketball league. That's for four-year-olds through third grade. That happens every Thursday from 6 until 7. It is a hoot. It's a lot of fun watching those kids play basketball. So I think that's all the announcements. Anything else? We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now that would like to give something to you if you're a guest. So if you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are. The ushers will recognize you. You gave us information just a minute on the pew pad, and we thank you for that. We want to give something to you. So just raise your hand, and inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church, also a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our congregation and a little bit of the history of College Park. So thank you for being a part of worship this day. I want you to think, just for a moment, from the time you woke up this morning to the time right now, We could think of all the problems we've had to face, or all the challenges, or all. How has God blessed you just since you woke up this morning? If we had to list, just getting up is a gift. The ability to breathe is a gift. Certainly, in the midst of our lives, we have great challenges and great distresses. But the greatest gift of all is God has not left us. And he sent his son Jesus to remind us of that. God is here. He has not abandoned you. He has not let me go. Because of that, we need to worship him to say thanks. Let us prepare for worship. Pray with me. Father, we do adore you. We thank you for who you are. Holy, righteous, powerful, creator, sustainer. Thank you for the forgiveness that you have offered me, for all the ways I fail you daily. Thank you, you have not given up on me. Thank you that you give me the opportunity to worship you. May I take it, take advantage of the chance to be with our brothers and our sisters, both in this room and around the world, who call on the name of Jesus. We worship you. Be in this place, we pray, in Jesus' name. Okay, now, I'm not sure how well this is going to go, but we're going to give it a try, okay? We're going to take a little tour of the sanctuary. This big room's called a sanctuary, okay? That's a big word, right? Can y'all say sanctuary?
Sanctuary.
All right, so we're going to take a tour. And when we walk around, I want you to see the people and see what they're doing. You can wave at them. Don't touch them. Don't feed them. Just look at them, okay? We're just going to walk around the big room, okay? Can you listen very clearly and do what I ask? Can you do that for me? All right, I need for everybody to stand up, okay? And let's make a line right here. Everybody in a straight line, all right? Good, good. Okay, we're going to walk around. Can look way up high. Do you see those big lights?
Yes.
You see those big lights? Okay, let's go look at some people. Let's just come follow, keep walking. Look at all these people. Do they have some nice clothes on? They're dressed up. Some took a bath or shower this morning. Can you say hi? Y'all can say hi to everybody. Most everybody's nice. Well, y'all know Miss Bernice, don't you? Everybody knows Miss Bernice. Oh, let's slide in here. Everybody slide in here. Okay. Good job. Take a seat. Just sit on the pew. Keep sliding. Keep walking all the way. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Good job. Okay, sit down. Come here, Riley. You can come sit down here, sweetheart. Come in, or you can go down there. What now? How do things look from here? Do they look different than they did up there? They look a little different? Yeah, there's lots of people. Now, can you see? Look up there. Do you see the people in those robes up there? Choir, can y'all wave? Look at that. Can y'all wave back? That's the choir, and that's Miss Mary. Can y'all wave to Miss Mary? She makes sure we all sound good. Okay, everybody stand back up. We're on our tour. Keep going. All right. Follow. Stay in line. Follow me. Oh, this is a good-looking crew back here. These are called the ushers. Can you say that word, ushers? Ushers. Very good. They make sure we have bulletins and they know what's going on. And if anybody wakes up, if it's asleep, they wake them up. All right. All right. Let's turn around and go this way. Everybody turn. We're going to go this way. Keep coming. Oh, do you see that big thing on the wall in the back? Does anybody know what that is? Does anybody know what that is? It's a cross. That's exactly right. Good job. Oh, I think we're going to come up here. Everybody be careful. Walk up the steps. Walk up the steps. Go all the way to the other side. Keep going. Freeze right there. All right, turn this way. Everybody good? Freeze right there, CJ. Right there. Everybody look. Now, do things look a little different up here? Can you wave? Oh, look at that. Look at that. Okay, can you sit down right where you are? Sit down right where you are. Now, we got to see a lot of different people, right? We've got people that are sitting out there in those pews. And they were really nice and they waved to you. We saw the people in the choir who like to sing. We saw the ushers who they give out the bulletins. Yes, sir. And then up there, that's right. Do you know anybody up there? Yeah. There, your grandma. That's right. Now, you see all these people and it's from different places. Why do we come in the sanctuary? Why do we come here? For children's time to learn about who? Jesus. We like to come here and we got to the bulletin and we sing songs. It's not about us. It's about who? Jesus. That's why we worship. That's why we sit here every week. That's why we sing every week is about Jesus. Everything you and I have been given, who gave it to us? God. He gave us everything. And we should be thankful. And that's why we come in here. Will you pray with me? Pray with me. Dear God, thank you so much for the people of College Park. Thank you for how much they love you. How much they teach us as children that God is amazing. From the music to the preaching to the worshiping, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Good job. We can go back to our seats.
We do come together to worship. Even in our worship and in our praise, we remember those who are hurting. And this morning, Krista was scheduled to be here with us to do the reading and prayer in just a moment, but she had to go back down to Charleston. I think many of you will remember that she did a memorial service, a funeral for her aunt. Well, after the aunt passed away, then the aunt's son, which would be Krista's cousin, was in a car accident. So she had to go back down to Charleston to do the service for him. So we certainly want to remember her because that's a difficult time. So remember her. But again, we're here to worship, and we want to read a psalm, which interestingly enough, as Jeff was talking about, while we're here to worship, yes. And in Psalm 111 begins, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are steadfast forever and ever, done in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and all who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise." To him belongs eternal praise. Pray with me. Father, it is good to sing praises to you. because it helps us to rediscover who you are. Who you are. And Father, it's good to give thanks because it reminds us of what you do in our lives. Who you are and what you do. And with that relationship and having given praise for who you are and acknowledged you as the giver of all good things, we can then trust you with the things that concern us. And one of those things, Father, as we've already mentioned, is our sister Krista, as she is traveling and as she's hurting, and her family as they're reeling from multiple losses within the last several weeks. Father, we also remember families within our church, other families, the Crotch family. Father, it just seems like been so many that we're losing. And even as we gather this afternoon for Paul Livengood and visit with his family, Father, it's a reminder that this life is very short. It's a temporary existence here on the way somewhere else. And so we praise you for the fact that somewhere else is in your presence. And as we believe and as we trust in you, Father, we claim that promise of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the example that he gave us on how to praise you and also how to serve one another. And so we pray that during this week, we would be reminded constantly of who you are and how you've blessed us and also how you've called us to serve one another in your name, to reach out to those who are hurting. Father, we pray for those who have had losses, and we pray specifically for them, but we also pray that we would have the courage and the strength to continue to minister to families. Father, we mentioned the Crotch family, we mentioned the Livengood family, we also remember Joyce's family, and all those others that we've lost recently. We pray that we would be faithful to the task of continuing to minister to one another. God, we love you. We thank you for the chance to be gathered as your children and to offer our praise and thanksgiving and to lay these burdens at your feet. Father, it's an awesome privilege. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask all of these things. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning. We have so much to be thankful for. Would you bow your heads with me? Gracious Father, you give us so much, Lord, and sometimes we forget to take a moment to thank you for all that we have in good times and in bad, Lord. And so we take this moment to give back a piece of all of the greatness that you've blessed us with, Lord, and to take this moment to say thank you and to be grateful and humble for all that we have and all that you give us through your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
isn't it interesting how we as Americans assume that since we have gathered here this morning without interference, we assume that we'll be able to do so next week, right? Don't we assume that? We think, well, we didn't have any problem today. We certainly won't have any problem this coming week or the week following that. We kind of assume that we're always going to kind of have that right and that privilege to come be in worship together without any kind of interference. So making that assumption, we get up on Sunday mornings and we have a choice. Should I go to church or not? Do I want to go to church or not? Well, I can always go next week because, I mean, this is Super Bowl Sunday. And they've got that really great 12-hour pregame show that just started. And I don't want to miss a minute of that. I mean, it's not like ESPN hadn't been covering all of those details for the last 2 weeks. I need 10 more hours of that stuff before I get into the bean dip and settle in for kickoff. That's what I want. And besides that, it's probably just going to be another normal Sunday worship service. Another normal Sunday morning message. Isn't it a shame? Just in general. Isn't it a shame that familiarity has spoiled us to the point where there is little, if any, excited anticipation about what God is going to do within us? And I mean that corporately as the body of Christ, but also I mean that personally. As we come together to worship, do we really anticipate with excitement what God is going to do? Isn't it a shame that because we expect nothing or very little, we fail to prepare our hearts to receive God's word? So in that way, then, our expectations are self-fulfilling, and we leave here thinking, yeah, just another Sunday, just another hymn, just another choir anthem. Sorry, I had to throw that in because just another Sunday message, nothing particularly special. I guess I should have stayed at home and watched that pregame show after all. Meanwhile, all around the globe, there are believers who would be ecstatic to be a part of our worship time, to be able to be in this place and worship with other believers. They would walk miles to be here. They might even have to start the day before to be here. They would endure all types of physical hardship just to be with other believers and to worship together. And they might be puzzled, if they were able to get here, while we sit back and say, "I shall not be moved." So what's the disconnect for us? What's our deal? Well, maybe it kind of goes all the way back to why we're left here on earth when we accepted Christ. Think about it. Wouldn't it be easier? Wouldn't it be easier for the kingdom, perhaps? Wouldn't it be easier for God if when we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, He just whisk us off to heaven? That way we don't have a chance to backslide or to get apathetic. You know, right at that point when we're most excited about Christ and our relationship with Him, boom, all of a sudden we're in the full presence of all believers who've gone before us and we're singing around the throne. Man, wouldn't that be glorious? That would be glorious. But that's not the way He's chosen to work. He wants to use us here. He wants us to follow Him here. And that leads me to a story. It just so happens to come out of Scripture, so that this is not just another one of those Sunday morning messages. We go straight to Scripture. Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 18. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." And at once they left their nets and followed Him. And going on from there, He saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. And Jesus called them. And they immediately left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Other translations say people, you get the idea. Men being a generic term there. Follow me and I will make you fishers of people. Notice what he didn't say though. And here's some of our hangups. What he didn't say, he did not say, follow me and life will be a cupcake. He didn't say that. He didn't say, follow me and you will live a life of prosperity. Say that. He didn't say, follow me and no one will ever oppose you. He didn't say that. What he did say was, follow me and I will make you fishers of people. And remember, you know, unfortunately in our modern fishing world, out by the pond or in the stream, we have this concept of what fishing looks like. We have this idea that if we're going to fish for people, then what we need to go at is go out there one-on-one, set the hook, and drag them kicking and fighting into church. That, I mean, if you think about it, that's probably the image that first came to your mind. Someone out there slaying, and when you reel them, they're fighting, you're pulling. And when you finally wear them down, you drag them into the boat. And if they're still fighting with you, you club them. You club them into submission. That's not the image we're supposed to have, by the way. Just erase all that. The image we're supposed to have is a net being cast and then gathered. A large net. The gospel. The gospel needs to be heard and received by everyone. A large net cast out, gently pulled back in. I prefer you have that image of fishing to the previous one. A large net, cast out, pulled in. There was also smaller nets, the ones that they would cast from shore. But the concept is that we want to minister to people. We want to minister. Christ died for all. Now some will receive, some will choose to receive, others will choose not to. But we need to cast the net so that others can hear. They need to hear. And how will they hear if we're not fishing? There is a strange thing other than the concept of fishing that we have in our mind about this passage, though. When you first read it, and if you don't read it in context, it's a little bit strange because you visualize Jesus walking by a sea, seeing some fishermen, and says, follow me. And I'll teach you how to fish for people. And these men who depend for their livelihood on catching fish stop what they're doing and say, great idea, let's do that. Two of them left dad sitting in the boat. Great, that sounds like a great idea, let's go do this. And we have this notion that Jesus somehow was a stranger. And they just decided, hey, let's follow this guy. And that makes it sound really bizarre. But you see, that's not the case at all. That's not the case at all. If you back up, keep it in context, verse 12, which precedes the passage we just read. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was where? It was by the lake, it was by the sea. In the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Remember, Matthew's really big in helping Jewish believers, Jewish Christians, to understand Jesus was the fulfillment of the prophecies regarding the Messiah. So that he goes back to Isaiah and he quotes this passage. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. Of those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. It's not the first time we've heard Jesus referred to as the light, correct? So he's helping them make the connection. And from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. So is Jesus a stranger to these men? I doubt it, seriously. I doubt it. You know why? Jesus was not your run-of-the-mill kid. Now, he was all boy. I have no doubt about that. When he was growing up, he was all boy. But he was something more than that, too. You remember at age 12 what he did? Mom and Dad can't find him. Where is he? Yeah, he's at the temple. What's he doing? He's teaching, and they said they were astounded by his understanding. Well, do you really think word of that didn't get back? At age 12, he is astounding people. Yeah, from age 12 to age 30 when he began his public ministry, I think probably these guys had heard of him at least. They may have been buddies with him. We don't know. People conjecture, and there's a lot of books written, and you know, there's a lot of opinions. But I dare say they knew of him. And you say, well, that's all good, but what's your point? The point is they followed him in relationship. They knew him, if not knew of him, or knew of him, if not knew him directly. And he told them, come follow me, and I will raise the bar on your existence. Instead of fishing for fish, now you're going to be fishing for all of humanity. What a calling. And then in chapter 14 of John, he went one more level and said, yeah, I want you to follow me. I want you to fish for people and to help you, since I'm not going to be here any longer. To help you with that, I'm sending the power of the Holy Spirit to walk beside you, paraclete, to walk beside you, to empower you, to guide you, to show you where the fish are, and to teach you how to continue fishing for people. You see, there's a lot of fish. There's a lot of fish. And Jesus has called us to go fish. And he's given us the tools to do it with. He's given us the power of the Holy Spirit to walk with us, to guide us, to strengthen us. When we get discouraged, when we get angry, when we get exhausted, his Spirit walks beside us. And the only question remaining really is then, are we going to follow Jesus and allow him to make us fishers of people, or are we going to continue to live selfish lives? You see, that's the question before the church today. And when I say the church, I mean with a capital C, all of Christendom. But it's also the question for us. It's also the question for us. Are we going to allow him to teach us how to fish, or are we going to stay in the boat and be selfish? It's a tough question. Jesus said, follow me. Will we? Will you? Let's pray and ask for his help. Gracious Father, it's a difficult question because we're by nature just a little bit selfish. Father, it's a difficult question because we can think of probably five reasons right off the top of our head why it's inconvenient. Father, it's a tough question because it means putting you first and ourselves back down the list somewhere. But we pray now that even as we approach the reality of the question, that you would touch our hearts. Father, that you would help us to see how much you love us, how much you've sacrificed for us, in order to have a relationship with us. Father, we pray that we would set aside everything that distracts us. We would set aside the fact that even if nobody joins us in following you, that we'll go with you, that we will follow. Father, we set aside all of our personal goals and ambitions and claim what you desire for us, because we know that it's better, that it's the best. And as we do so, Father, we pray that your Spirit would continue to nurture us, that we would learn to lean on your Spirit for guidance as well as encouragement and strength. Father, as we talk about it, as we pray about it, it really takes the pressure off us, because we lean on you. And we know that you never fail us. You never leave us. We thank you and we praise you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a song, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." It's almost like we planned it that way, huh? "I have decided to follow Jesus." And if you look at the words, "I've decided to follow Jesus, I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back." That's verse 1. Verse 2, "Though none go with me, I'll still follow." Will you? "Though none go with me, will you still follow?" Verse 3, "My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus." Will you? Verse 4, "Is the world behind me, the cross before me?" The world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back. This is the invitation this morning. The hymn that you're going to sing is the invitation. And your response is to sing or not to sing. If you can't sing these words and mean them, I suggest you just don't sing them. Maybe move your mouth if you don't want to embarrass yourself, but I suggest you not sing them. Because you don't want to sing a lie before God. That's the invitation this morning. I'll be here. Any decision you want to make in regard to relationship with Christ or rededication or joining this fellowship, I'll be glad to talk with you. But I want you to do your work with these words in the hymn and sing those to God as your pledge from this point forward, no matter where you've been in life, no matter what mistakes you've made, no matter, you know, whatever the baggage. From this point forward, this will be your pledge. Tough, isn't it? Let's stand and sing together. We are children of the King. I invite you this week to live accordingly, to act accordingly, to speak accordingly. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, as we go from this place, help us to know beyond a shadow of a doubt what you desire for us to do and for us to be. Father, we desire to be followers of Jesus Christ. Father, we desire deeply that you would use us this week to give glory to you, not to ourselves. Father, we desire to be children of the King and to live accordingly. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray.